чашка – це Індії берег, де сонце і спека. На моєму столі мапа, вогонь і ганжа. Я люблю сонячні хвилі і промені Бога. А ще я люблю цілувати тебе. Моя тінга-лінга, ага, 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 тінга-лінга, ага, ага, тінга-лінга, ага, 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 тінга-лінга, ага, тінга-лінга, ага. Мого неба торкається сонце і небо сміється. І дарує незвідані крила й дороги ганжа. Твої очі зелені, як море, як райдуга серце. І теплим промінням своїм огортає мене. Моя тінга-лінга, ага, 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 тінга-лінга, ага, ага, тінга-лінга, ага, 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 тінга-лінга, ага, ага, тінга-лінга. Птахи, а у горах тумани і трави. У джерелах вода, а повітря солодке й п'янке. Я співаю і пісня отця у горах лунає. Ти теплим коханням своїм огортаєш мене. Моя тінга-лінга, ага, 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 тінга-лінга, ага, ага, тінга-лінга, ага, ага, тінга-лінга, ага, тінга-лінга, ага.
Popular ethno-folk group or ethno-pop group from Ukraine called Mandre, and that was a song called Tingalinga. Вітаю вас всіх, дорогі радіослухачі, на радіопрограму «Наш голос» радіо українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. При мікрофоні Павіна Макварі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you from Vancouver Island on the west coast of Canada, courtesy PCJ Radio International. I'm your host, Paulette Demchuk-Macquarie, Pokrinska Pavlina, and I'm delighted to have you with me. We've got a great program lined up for you on Ukrainian Jewish heritage. We have an interview with a very interesting young man in Ukraine. As well, we've also got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And we've got quite an eclectic selection of tunes coming up next. Trio Maksimovich and a traditional folk song, kind of a warning to young girls to be careful, going out in the woods. It's also, I think, in today's era of social media, just a reminder that people aren't really any different. Back then, we got stories about evil people in songs like this. Today, we get it pretty much in your face on social media. Again, here's Trio Maksimovic with the tragic story of a young girl whose life is violently cut short at the hands of some very cruel and evil men. Trio Maksimovic and Halyu.
Перевезіть через воду, візьміть мене на той час. що стояла край берега, та й стала гірком.
And popular singer from Ukraine, Oksana Mucha, from her CD Reshito and Khlopci Rybolovci, the Fisher Boys. Up next, Blast from the Past. This is a group called Bratia Hajdukina and a song that we played a fair bit back in the early days of Nash Holos in the 1990s off a cassette recording. This is a digital recording, obviously. And this song is called, it's a Surajik, I guess, title, mix of Russian and Ukrainian. Zvostochko Maya, My Star.
Початку органічки не переварував його. Зазначка моя, тихо для дідя, заспіваю пісню цю за душевною. Зазначка моя, тихо для дідя, заспіваю пісню цю за душевною. Познавала емпірически различні сторони життя. Не диво тоже прозаїчески закінчила ж любов твоя. Заточка моя, тихо для тебя, заспіваю пісню цю за душевною. Заточка моя, тихо для тебя, заспіваю пісню цю за душевною. Ой, рідки, рідки, дай, рідки, рідки, дай.
Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Alexei Kitakesha with the Ukrainian-American group Fata Morgana, and that was a song of the Ukrainian Cossack leader Hamalia. Up next, we're going to keep it in North America. We're going to come into Canada now, though, to Edmonton, where there is a group called UB, and from their second CD called Homebrew, here they are singing about picking mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. Ой, дівчина по рибі ходила, в зеленому гаю заблудила.
А я чорнява, нічки не спала, з долею уяла. А я чорнява, нічки не спала, з долею уяла.
Ой, козачі, молоди гуляю, вибіть мене зеленого гаю.
А я чорнява, нічки не спала, з долею уяла. А я чорнява, нічки не спала, з долею уяла.
Дав дівчини коника тримати, а сам пішов дорогу шукати.
А я чорнява, нічки не спала, з долею уяла. А я чорнява, нічки не спала, з долею уяла.
Ой, ти шукав до темної ночі, пала роса на синій очі.
А я чорнява, нічки не спала, з долею уяла. А я чорнява, нічки не спала, з долею уяла.
And now for a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now, brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter based in Toronto, Ontario. This is Pavlina, producer and host of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. The Jewish population of Ukraine before the Second World War was over 2.5 million. Now the current population is only around 100,000. A whole world with its very own culture, rules, and customs was decimated in the Holocaust. Decades later, descendants of survivors, along with friends and supporters, are working hard to piece together remnants of this once vibrant world. In western Ukraine and other parts of the former Austro-Hungarian Empire, many restoration and educational projects are underway. But in eastern Ukraine, not so much. One man, however, has taken on the gargantuan task of cataloging Jewish shtetls in eastern Ukraine. Vitaly Buryak recently discovered his Jewish roots. In the process, he created a website called History of Jewish Communities in Ukraine. The URL is jewua.org. I came across his website while doing research on shtetls. Vitaly, also known as Chaim, kindly agreed to tell me his story so I could share it with you. Here is part of that conversation. So, first of all, could you tell me about yourself?
My name is Chaim Buryak, and I'm living in Kyiv. I'm 32 years old. My father is Ukrainian and mother is Jewish. So according to Jewish law, I'm Jewish.
Yes.
I was born in Preluki, it's a city in Chernigov region. Studied the school in Nezhen, where my parents are still living, and started my university in Kyiv in 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. And for the last 16 years, I'm living in Kyiv.
Okay, and so what do you do there?
I was working in different IT company and still working in IT. I'm a software engineer.
So why did you decide to create this website and embark on this ambitious project? It's basically, you're doing it as a hobby?
Yes. I'm doing this in my free time. It's not much free time, but I'm trying my best. Why I decided? Good question. All my life, I was interested in history. I read all historical books. Not a Jewish, maybe first Jewish books which I read was 6 years ago. So all my previous years of historical experiences was just common history and also in military history.
What was it that inspired you to do this?
So one time I visited in Israel as a part of Taglit program. It's like a post-right trip that each person can emigrate to Israel, can make a short visit in Israel.
What happened next?
A famous genealogist tried to find a person who will be a tour guide in Jewish Kyiv and proposed small courses. And person after these courses, theoretically, a person will be able to provide some tours in Jewish Kyiv for different tours. And I decided to joined these courses. And after this, I made the first steps in my Jewishness, maybe. Because before, I did not know what it means to be a Jewish. What is a Shabbos? What is a Torah? Who was Moshe? Like, it was like a fairy tale for me.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. I was born in a very assimilated family. I know nothing about my Jewishness. Full, empty, zero.
So how did you find out about your mom then, if your mom isn't an observant Jew?
I always know that she's Jewish because my birth certificate was mentioned. And all my life I know that my mother is Jewish. But for me it was like a fairy tale that you're Jewish if only your mother is Jewish. That it's not passed by your father. And I get this information maybe only 7 years ago, 6 years ago. Like before, it was like some kind of mystery for me.
Wow.
And also, one guy in Kyiv asked me to fill his website. He asked to make small descriptions of the shtetls in any place of Ukraine. He gave me a book and asked me, please put all information from this book to website. And again, I will give you like some money for this. It was like a job. And I started to read. And I started to read this book. It was 100 shtetls in Ukraine. But really, maybe 20 or 30 shtetls was described in this book. Mm-hmm. And I started to read about the shtetls. I know that Jews live in Ukraine, that thousands and thousands of Jews live in Ukraine, that before the war, millions of Jews lived in Ukraine, and it was a Holocaust. So I know history well, and I know what's the Babi Yar, but it's like was not so close to me. It's like, for example, you hear now about some civil war in Syria. For me, it was like the same. Like something happened with somebody in this territory. Okay, fine, but it's happened since 70 years ago. Why I should feel something about this? And for me, it was like news that there were places in Ukraine where Ukrainians were minority and majority were Jewish, and all the Jewish population disappeared. And no Jews left now. It's now a small village inhabited only by Ukrainians. But this place has some Jewish history. And the next step was when I became a tour guide. One tourist from US wanted to visit his shtetl, his ancestral town, where his great-grandparents escaped 100 years ago. And he wanted to visit it. Okay, fine. And theoretically, yeah, we Google and find that it was, by the way, not the biggest, but fully, only one fully Jewish settlement in Chernigov region. it was a small village, just 600 Jews lived there mm-hmm. before revolution, but it was fully Jewish, no Ukrainians lived there. And I Google it, and I find information that the one local historian lives there.
Oh, lucky.
Yeah, I called to this person, and he said, I already researched a local history for the last 40 years, and I spoke with people who know all these Jews very well. So, wow. Come on, came, and I will show you all the sites which I know. And we visited this shtetl, and this local historian show all sites. Jewish cemetery, a former Jewish cemetery, because it's a garden and a potato is growing there now.
Oh.
And he showed the site of the synagogues. It's just a site. Nothing is there. It's like some space between two buildings.
Oh.
He showed the oldest Jewish building in this village. So this guy from the US was fully satisfied. But for me, it was like a shock because I did not even think that some villages in Ukraine have some history. Before, I read about this only in books. But wait, one another story about this trip. This guy, this lawyer from US, wanted to visit two places. First one was this village, Dmitrovka. Also, he wanted to visit Priluki. Priluki is the place where I was born.
Oh.
And I contacted with the head of local Jewish community. And my grandma is still living there, and this head of the local Jewish community knows very well my grandma. And he showed the places which I didn't know before in my city where I was born. My wow. grandma didn't show me a synagogue, didn't show me a Jewish cemetery, didn't show Holocaust killing site, also a place of the ghetto. She didn't show to me. I walk on this street, I see these buildings before. But I didn't know that it was a synagogue, for example. And it was like a shock for me.
And so she didn't tell you anything about your Jewish heritage at all?
I did not ask, and she did not tell. I know that my grandma, great-grandma, was from the poor family, and she evacuated her family, all her sisters, and my great-grandpa and great-grandma. They all went to Kazakhstan. That's why they survived and I was born. From Priluki ghetto escaped only around 10 people and survived, I found, 4 or 5 among 1,200
people.
Yeah, so it really was no chance to survive for Jews in Priluki during the Nazi occupation.
Oh, wow. Wow. What does the word shtetl mean exactly? I mean, on your website, you have a quote there that says it's not exactly a town, not exactly a township.
Good question. Shtetl is an Yiddish word, which means a small settlement.
Okay.
Something middle between village and city. Because in that time, I mean, 18th, 19th century, mm-hmm. Jews, they live in these shtetls, very crowded. So usually the central street of the shtetl is like a whole street of the buildings close to another building without a gardens behind them because the Jews didn't allow to have a land. Also, Ukrainians lives in these shtetls, but usually in the center lived Jews and in suburbs lived Ukrainians. Anyway, the place where majority were Jews and it was not big. The whole population was less than 10,000, less than 5,000 mm-hmm. people. And I created a list. I created a list of these settlements where more than 1,000 Jews lived. I created this list for each gubernia in Ukraine and get like a plan for my research. So the plan is very simple to write at least small article mm-hmm. for each place which is in my list. And also I'm trying to not lose time on Western Ukraine because Western Ukraine, you know, became a part of the Soviet Union only before World War II. And Jewish life stopped here only in 1941 during the Holocaust.
In Western Ukraine.
Yes. Uh-huh. And for this period between the First World War and Second World War, many Jews immigrated to Israel, to Palestine, it was called before,
mm-hmm.
In US, in Canada, in England, and they brought some photos, they brought some books, and wrote many memory books. And Western Ukraine is really investigated very well. So if, for example, you will start to Google about Zloshu, you will find the tons of materials about Zloshu. But if you will try to Google about a Dimir is a village near the Kyiv, 20 or 30 kilometers in the center of Ukraine, you will find, I think, only my article. I visited Dimir 2 years ago. I find local historian. He showed me remains of the Jewish cemetery. He showed me a killing site. It's not. It's just a field. Nobody marked mass graves there. So hundreds of Jews are still living there, and they planted grain on it. They showed the sites of synagogue. They showed the former Jewish neighborhood. They showed me the last prayer house, and we spoke with the owner of this building, and he gave to us part of the door with mark of mezuzah. He gave me a saw, and I cut this part of the door and brought it to museum, to Jewish museum.
What is it?
Mezuzah, it's a small scroll with the words of Torah.
Oh.
It's really small, around 10 centimeters, not more. Which should be put it on the door, on the right side of the door, in any Jewish home. It's maybe the last material part of the Jewish Dimir history, because another is just photos and memories, but it's a real thing that you can touch. That's why you'll not find a Western Ukraine regions on my website. I'm just trying to describe places which wasn't described before.
Yeah, because there's a lot of work being done in Western Ukraine. But yeah, you're right. Eastern and Central Ukraine, I don't have much information.
So look, if you will check a statistic of the Jewish population before the revolution, you will see that, for example, in Kyiv, Gubernia lived more than 400,000 Jews. And in Chernigov Gubernia lived around 40,000. So if you will move to the east, you will see that Jewish population decrease. Because, you know, the Jews appear in Ukraine from Poland. And most Jewish places in Ukraine were Western Ukraine, Podolia, Volhynia, and partially Central Ukraine. And Eastern Ukraine didn't have much Jewish population.
Okay. So what you're interested in is areas that are still undiscovered or under-researched, and people just haven't, there's no information about that.
Sure. I only tried to search in the internet, and I see that some place really wasn't described. Like, for example, community in Rozhishchev. Rozhishchev is a center of the district in Kyiv region, not far from Ukraine, not from the Kyiv, like maybe half hour of the driving.
Mm-hmm.
And more than 6,000 Jews lived there 100 years ago. And no Jews live now there. And if you try to find something about the Jewish history, you will find nothing.
Hmm.
Like, all this community just disappear, and that's all. No traces. Yeah, there are some traces in archive, in Ukraine, in Kyiv archive. They have really tons. And I'm speaking about not the number, I'm speaking about the weight of this paper. Tons of the documents.
Really?
Very interesting.
Wow.
Yes, they have shtetl maps, surnames, different files. And if you have time, in 1 month, describe the history of this shtetl like you lived there.
Wow. Okay, just the question, where are they stored?
In Kyiv archive. There are a few archives in Kyiv, and they store this information.
Okay. Why is it important for you to, essentially, these are ghost towns. The shtetls have disappeared. Why is it important for you to chronicle that information, compile that information, when there's nobody there anymore?
I don't know why it's important for me, because sometimes I feel that it's important only for me to describe a history of this community, which will disappear in 5-10 years, and no Jews left there. But this place had some Jewish history, and sometimes it's 300 or 400 years of Jewish history, and it will end in my days. And sometimes I feel that I need to describe it and get it made public. Why it's important for me, I don't know. Sometimes I ask a question, what's the sense? What's the sense to visit it, to spend your time? But I like it. I really like it. I try to spend my vacation on the beach. Mm-hmm. And I'm lying on the beach and start to think, what am I doing there? I really don't like this. I don't like this beach. I don't like this food. I don't like this sun. I don't like this sea. Better to me be in the middle of nowhere. It's really, sometimes it's really middle of nowhere. You have very, very bad roads. Some parts of Zhytomyr even is badly inhabited due to radiation, radioactive pollution.
Right.
And you went to this place and start to speak with some old people. What did you remember something about the Jews who live there? And so sometimes I think that it's something not very normal with me. sometimes it's very funny, but I really like it, and I don't know why I like it. And that's how I spend my free time.
It's important to you. It interests you, and it's important to you.
Yes, but sometimes I recognize that it's important only for me. No, and other people care about this old village. That even the village will disappear soon, because in some places, population, for example, 100 years ago was 2,000 people, and now 200 people.
Yeah.
And you see that it's only statistic to the 200. In reality, it's 50 people live there. Yeah. And you see that it will disappear soon. It's not like a Jewish place disappears soon. It's like a Ukrainian place disappears soon.
Oh, okay, I understand. So they're going to become ghost towns eventually.
Yeah.
So, and you're not a historian by trade or anything, but you have this mad passion for history. So that's wonderful. And you know what, it's lonely work what you're doing, but I don't think that it's frivolous. I don't think it's meaningless. Certainly, I think it has great value, and somebody will thank you for it. So what are you looking for help from the public?
Just materials and not more, because this research don't need much money. Photos and maybe some memories, maybe some books about the shtetl, because some books, for example, were printed in very small circulation. And you cannot even find this book in internet. So okay. I really seeking for information from them, from family photos, any memories from the pre-revolution life.
And how would they get them to you?
Like you find me. Via website or via Facebook. I have a Facebook group. Also very nice group, Tracing the Tribe in Facebook. More than 20,000 people.
Oh, wow.
Who are searching for Jewish roots.
Okay. And do you have another site?
I have my own group, JewUA.org, Shtetls in Ukraine. And the website, JewUA.org.
Well, Chaim, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you too.
Dobranic. Bye-bye. Chaim Buryak, creator and curator of the website JewUA.org. You can find him there and also on Facebook. Just search for JewUA.org and also for Tracing the Tribe. This is Pavlina, producer and host of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage. Thanks for listening. Until next time, shalom. Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter, based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more about their work, visit their website and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage are available at their website, ukrainianjewishencounter.org, as well as at the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. You've been listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you via PCJ Radio International on AM/FM shortwave and satellite radio. In between broadcasts, please visit our website at www.nashholos.com for transcripts and audio files of interviews and features such as Ukrainian Jewish Heritage and our Knishka Corner book reviews. Information about the show and podcast links to the Vancouver and Nanaimo editions of Nash Holos. There's a link to our Patreon site there as well, where you'll find playlists, proverbs, and other extra features for patrons and donors. I do hope you'll engage with me there and support the show by following our page or becoming a patron. Incidentally, you can also support the show at no cost to you through the Amazon links found at the Nash Holos website. Again, that's www.nashholos.com. I'd love to hear from you, so please send your suggestions, dedications, and requests. Your comments are always welcome. Не жалме вискінчила нашу програму, вже час домові сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Одна сталь, але не однакова її ціна. And our proverb of the week translates as, all steel is steel, but the price is not always the same. And with that, we've come to the end of our program. So to wrap things up, we have a Ukrainian singer by the name of Dima Kondrashov and a song called Ще один день, Still Another Day. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, до побачення.
Так добре з тобою є, коли ти поруч зі мною є, я відчуваю душою це усе мене, але тобі скажу ще.
щоб Петренко вигравало коло мого носа.